Hi there. Welcome to our program on careers. Welcome to 2025. Happy New Year, and I hope that the new year will be a happy and a healthy new year for you and yours. I'm Irene Lubin, and I'm a volunteer reader for Sun Sounds. I'd like to begin today's program with an article which appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 7th of December. More workers itch to switch their jobs. This article was written for the journal by Ray A. Smith. More Americans are looking to switch their jobs, point in the past decade. In a cooling job market, that's a lot easier said than done. White-collar hiring continues to slow, but workers' restlessness to find new work is intensifying, new Gallup data show. More than half of 20,000 U.S. workers surveyed in November said they were watching for or actively seeking a new job. That is the largest share since 2015, eclipsing the so-called Great Resignation of 2021 and 2022, when millions of people quit their jobs for better ones. The result? Job satisfaction has fallen to its lowest level in recent years as employees feel more stuck and frustrated where they are, according to Gallup, whose quarterly surveys are widely viewed as a bellwether of workplace sentiment. Smaller raises and fewer promotions are now spurring some of the discontent, workers say. So too are cost-cutting moves and stepped-up requirements to be working in offices more often. Not too long ago, those employees could act on their dissatisfaction by finding a new job with relative ease and better pay. Now, we currently are sitting in a holding pattern, says Gallup Workplace Research Director Ben Weigert. Just 18% of the workers surveyed by the polling firm said that they were extremely satisfied with their current job, down from 20% a year ago, and a third less than a decade ago. Though he made good money, Pancho Gomez says he felt trapped in his job as a senior manager of customer experience at a retail tech company. He craved more communication and says being asked to do more with less left him feeling disempowered. Yet his search for other opportunities out there searched up few. He was laid off in June and says that he felt relief instead of disappointment. The handcuffs were removed without me having any say in it, says Gomez, who lives in Reno, Nevada. Inspired by his own work with a career coach, he started his own coaching business this fall. About 3 million people quit their jobs in September, about 500,000 fewer than a year earlier, according to Labor Department data. Workers staying put means employers can worry less about turnover, according to Gallup's Weigert. The risk is that employee burnout rises and productivity suffers if workers feel stuck. All of these factors are essentially leading us to the state of overwork and employees feeling like they lack purpose and meaning, says Jennifer Moss, who is a workplace consultant and author of a new book on work culture. The growing amount of time workers spend in meetings and messaging co-workers as their workloads increase has contributed to the malaise, she adds. Some companies, such as consulting giant McKinsey and credit card issuer Synchrony Financial, are trying to help staffers feel less stuck by creating more opportunities for them to take on new projects or temporary assignments with other teams. Worker satisfaction with that may stall, too, as raises are projected to shrink further. Among 1,900 U.S. companies polled earlier this year, nearly half of them said that they had downsized their budgets for salary increases in 2024 to a median 4.1% from 4.5% in 2023. Next year, they project median raises of 3.9%, according to employer advisory firm WTW, which conducted the survey. Employees say they also are feeling the effects of their company's focus on efficiency. Nearly three-quarters of the workers that we talked to said that their employers had gone through some sort of disruptive change in the past year, according to the Gallup survey. Among the managers who were polled, half said that their teams had been restructured in the past 12 months, and nearly the same share said that they were working with reduced budgets. As a result of all of this, most managers said employees had been given additional job responsibilities. The following article, which was written by Harriet Torrey, is entitled, Nation's Healthcare Tab is Surging Amid Rising Wages and Hospital Fees. This appeared in the Wall Street Journal on the 20th of December. The killing of a health insurance executive in New York City recently prompted a furious outpouring of anger over the industry and healthcare prices. So just how much have healthcare costs and spending been going up? The short answer is a lot. National healthcare spending increased 7.5% over year in 2023 to $4.867 trillion, or $14,570 per person, according to data released on Wednesday by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Total spending on healthcare goals, goods and services, everything from prescription drugs to back surgeries, accounted for 17.6% of gross domestic product. The 7.5% rise represented a much faster pace of growth than the 4.6% increase back in 2022. It came as pandemic federal funding for the healthcare sector expired and private health insurance enrollment increased. More people with insurance led to increased demand for medical procedures, and spending on hospital care grew at the fastest pace since 1990. Spending on drugs also rose, including for medications to treat diabetes and obesity. A full 92.5% of Americans were covered by insurance last year, and 175.6 million, or just over half of our population, got it through their employers, according to the government's new annual data. Over 65 million Americans are on Medicare, a government health insurance program, mainly for people ages 65 and older, and nearly 92 million are on Medicaid, which is a state federal program for the low income and disabled. About 8% of a typical American spending last year was on healthcare alone, according to Labor Department data released in September, less than housing, transportation, and food, but more than clothing, entertainment, and education. On the average, Americans spent about $4,000 on health insurance, which makes up the lion's share of healthcare spending. The amount consumers reported spending on health insurance in 2023 was up nearly 20% from 5 years earlier and has nearly doubled from a decade ago, according to the Labor Department. So why the higher prices? Hospitals and doctors' offices are paying more for workers, in large part due to labor shortages, rising wages generally, and high turnover. Prices have also been pushed higher by consolidation among hospitals. Over the past couple of decades, the price index for what the Labor Department classifies as medical care, which includes visits to doctors, hospital stays, prescription drugs, and medical equipment, has risen nearly 40% faster than the overall pace of inflation. Healthcare tends to rise more quickly than overall inflation because of high labor costs in the sector, as well as advancements leading to new and more expensive drugs and treatments. Demand for healthcare is also increasing as the population ages. The average worker pays a premium of $114 each month out of pocket for their share of employer-provided insurance, or $525 each month for family coverage, according to a recent survey by the healthcare nonprofit KFT. Both figures are up roughly 30% from a decade ago. Also up are deductibles, the fixed amount that a person must spend before most services are covered by insurance. The average deductible for a worker insuring just himself through employer-provided coverage is $1,787, up about 47% from a decade ago, according to KFF. The average deductible for a worker insuring her family or his family too is up much higher, running to about $3,000 to $4,000. Hospitals also are adding billions of dollars in facility fees to medical bills for routine care or outpatient centers, according to reporting by the journal. That means that patients are often paying hundreds of additional dollars for standard care such as colonoscopies, mammograms, and heart screenings. Copays are the one expense that has stayed roughly the same over the past decade. They average about $26 for a visit to an in-network primary care doctor, according to KFF. The employers are shouldering now a lot of those costs. For example, the average worker spent $6,296 in premiums for family coverage in 2024. According to KFF, an employer spent $19,276. When a company is paying more for insurance premiums for its workers, that leaves it with less money for giving out raises or reinvesting and expansion. It's ultimately all of us who pay for health care, either in the form of lower wages for people who have employer insurance, or in the form of higher taxes to cover Medicare and Medicaid, says Catherine Baker, who is professor of health economics at the University of Chicago. The following article is entitled Worker Shortage Risks U.S. Security, and this appeared in the Wall Street Journal also on the 20th of December. This article was written by Greg Epp from Newport News, Virginia. On a bright, frigid Saturday morning earlier this month, a crowd gathered at the gaping entrance to a 120-foot-high facility here to watch a pioneer of the civil rights era christen the nuclear submarine USS Arkansas by smashing a bottle of wine near its bow. Milling around beneath a massive black submarine were workers who build and refurbish warships such as Joshua Powell, an 18-year-old machinist. Powell had dropped out of college when he concluded pushing paper around was not for him, and he joined the shipyard where his father and his brother work. "I wanted to be a part of something great, something big," he says. "It's hands-on. I can feel it physically." He is hoping to apprentice and pick up additional trades and eventually become a foreman or a superintendent. The problem? There aren't enough Joshua Powells around. The Navy wants more ships, but shipyards face dire shortages of labor amid rising pay for less demanding fields. "It's hard work," Powell said. "It's hard to imagine that one day you'll be working on submarines that will be used in war. Everything you do needs to be perfect." Jennifer Boykin, who is president of Newport News Shipbuilding, said the operation here loses 20% of its hourly craft workers each year to attrition, to retirement, to quits, dismissals, compared with 10% before the pandemic. Newport News Shipbuilding, which is a unit of Huntington Ingalls Industries and General Dynamics Electric Boat Unit based in Croton, Connecticut, jointly build attack submarines, which are used mainly against other ships, and ballistic missile submarines, part of a nuclear deterrent. Local shortages are now a national security problem. They are a key reason that numerous Navy programs are being behind schedule and over budget. The Navy had originally budgeted $15 billion for three Virginia-class attack subs in fiscal 2024 and 2025. The Biden administration has just asked Congress for an additional $3.4 billion plus $1.6 billion for a ballistic missile submarine. The USS Arkansas, which is a Virginia-class sub, is expected to join the fleet in 2026, 3 years late. The extra money is included in a draft bill released by Congress this week, intended to keep the government from running out of money Friday night. Separately, the Navy, H-11, and General Dynamics have developed a shipyard accountability and workforce support initiative under which already appropriated funds would be front-loaded to boost worker pay immediately. Its fate, though, is unclear. The shipbuilding program's problems are endemic to the U.S. industrial base. As manufacturing has moved offshore and capital and labor migrated to more lucrative fields, the associated managerial know-how and skilled labor have atrophied. That now looks like a threat to U.S. economic and military security as China's industrial prowess and strategic threat have grown. In the past 3 years, China has built 47% of all the world's ships, and the U.S. just 0.1%, according to United Nations data. China's shipyards build both commercial and military vessels, a significant strategic advantage. From 2014 to 2023, China's Navy has launched 157 ships, while the U.S. launched 67, according to independent defense analyst Tom Shugart. The U.S. is now trying to build capacity in sectors from semiconductors to renewable energy, in part by sending a demand signal to investors and workers. Subsidies to semiconductor plants, for example, signal to students there are careers in making ships. The demand signal for warships faded after the Cold War ended. Submarine production slumped from 3.8% a year in the 1980s to 0.7% in the 1990s, according to Eric Labs, which is a Navy analyst at the Congressional Budget Office. It flickered to life again in the 2000s. Warship tonnage under construction went from 68,000 in 2014 to 123,000 this year, Lab estimates. Under the Navy's latest plan, that would reach 167,000 in 2034, but shipyards will be struggling to meet that goal. Since 2019, the Navy has planned on three subs, two attack and one ballistic, a year, but actual production has been just half of that, Lab estimates. Chris Kastner, who is chief executive of HII, is enthusiastic about the potential of additive manufacturing for 3D printing to produce bespoke components in a fraction of the time and cost of traditional manufacturing. But the Navy's stringent approval process slows the implementation. Labor is the main choice point. HII operates its own apprentice schools, but they don't fill all of its needs. Workers hired off the street do not last as long. The first question instructor Dana Gailey asks a new recruit is, "Are you ready to be a shipbuilder?" It's hard work. You're standing all day. You're on hard concrete, on steel. It's cold and it's hot. You might be in an awkward position. A lot of this stuff is very dangerous that we deal with. Under contracts negotiated before the pandemic, inflation, salaries here start at $17 an hour, exceed $20 within a year, and top $30 for more senior craftsmen. That once represented a significant premium to unskilled jobs in the region, but not now. Local fast food restaurants are paying up to $16 an hour, and Target itself is advertising warehouse jobs at up to $24. Annual attrition among welders is 30%. Among the younger generation, there is more job hopping, looking for better money, better benefits, said Kenny Blizzard, who is a 37-year veteran welder and assistant shop steward for the United Steelworkers. Higher salaries would help a whole lot, Kastner said. It would help bring people back into the fold. But shipbuilders' ability to pay more is constrained by contracts signed before the pandemic. Newport News's third quarter profit margin was 1%. That is why the industry is pressing the Navy and Congress to rework contracts to allow for more pay up front. That, along with the demand signal, will improve submarine production, Kastner said. I cannot predict when, but I know it's going to get much better. The next article is from a recent issue of the Wall Street Journal also. This title of this article is "The Office Therapist Will See You Now," and this was written for the journal by Chip Cutter in Stamford, Connecticut. The leafy headquarters of Synchrony Financial is home to an on-site bar, wooded walking trails, bocce ball courts, and a vegetable garden. The most unconventional amenity, though, sits near the edge of the campus. On the first floor of a little trafficked office building, psychologist Jennifer Nielsen now sees Synchrony employees for free therapy appointments on Tuesdays and Wednesdays most weeks. The benefit, which Synchrony began offering this year, has been embraced within the company, even if it is still largely unheard of at other major U.S. employers. While companies have long offered access to employee assistance lines and other programs meant to support well-being, most bosses have stopped short of bringing therapists on site, fearing that such a move could blur the line between personal and professional. Synchrony, though, got the request to provide the service from some of its youngest employees this past year. Members of its two-year business leadership rotational program told DJ Casto, Synchrony's human resources chief, that they would like access to a therapist during business hours. The company, which issues credit cards on behalf of PayPal, Sam's Club, and Lowe's, already provided wellness coaches, employee resource groups, and other mental health programs to its roughly 20,000-person workforce. But executives knew that access to therapy became more challenging during the pandemic because of a lack of clinicians and other constraints. So Casto and his colleagues talked over the idea and agreed to pursue it. Debates ensued about what type of therapist to offer and even where to put an office on campus so that employees could discreetly attend appointments, said Rebecca Ramek, a senior vice president of human resources. It's different to have an offering in the workplace, said Ramo. We wanted to be really thoughtful. Synchrony chose Nielsen for the role. She had been working as a tenured school psychologist at nearby Greenwich High School and had experience in private practice and other clinical settings. Friends joked with Nielsen that in taking a corporate position, she would be living the role of Wendy Rhodes, an office therapist who is employed by a hedge fund on the Showtime television series Billions. Nielsen quickly explained to them that really wasn't the reality. It's so different, she said. Synchrony works with Nielsen through a third-party firm, O'Connor Professional Group, in a sign of her separation from the company. She is working in an office at Synchrony's headquarters that is behind frosted glass, and includes a table and chairs along with a couch. She leaves a 15-minute buffer between appointments so that colleagues don't have to run into each other. Even a security guard post in the building was relocated so that employees don't feel watched. Staffers get access to a dozen free sessions with Nielsen each year. If they want more, she might refer them to another professional. Synchrony hopes that the benefit will lead to employees feeling better equipped to do their jobs. Reno said the offering also distinguishes the company from others. On-campus appointments with Nielsen often begin with a simple question, what brings you here today? Initial sessions might last an hour and follow-up appointments are generally 45 minutes. Since she began working at Synchrony in January, Nielsen has heard from employees seeking help in navigating challenges with a romantic partner, parents, children, or friends. Many employees also want guidance in coping with anxiety, body image issues, or work-related stresses. Nielsen holds separate group sessions for parents. She tells employees that she does not share confidential information raised in therapy with Synchrony officials. If she finds an employee at risk of harming himself or herself or others, she has a duty to inform health or legal authorities, but not Synchrony unless she is requested by employees. She does not provide the company with a list of patients. She simply tells them how many people have come through her doors. She says she does not have to take much time out of their day. It's like a lunch hour, she says. Anyone can be in therapy. We could all use it. This brings us to the end of the time that we have for our program on careers for today. In fact, for this year. Happy and a healthy new year to you and to yours. Thank you for listening in. I'm Irene Lubin, a volunteer reader, and you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona.